you have an agenda and minutes from the last meeting in front of you. And I will make a change to the agenda or ask for a change to the agenda. Item three, our new member is not with us tonight, so we can strike that from the agenda. So strike that from the agenda and anything else that we need to add or take off. All right, hearing none, I need a motion to approve the agenda.
Move to approve as amended.
Okay, all right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That takes us right to the approval of the minutes. So hopefully you've all reviewed them, at least taken a look at them, and if there are no changes to the minutes, we'll get a motion to approve the minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
Okay, a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Item five is our wildlife management update from Jim Hickey.
All right. Not a whole lot of changes. It's goose nesting season, so we're out there trying to locate goose nests and eggs. And so far, no luck. But I think they're a little late nesting this year.
No luck, and you haven't found any, or
haven't found any. So we have seen some eggs. It looks like, you know, maybe a fox or something got into, and so we've seen eggshells that look pretty big. So
how do you do that? Do you guys ride out there?
There's places along the ditches and everything that I can walk to, in the ponds. So you can see the geese kind of in pairs in different places. And as they don't really protect the nest much until they all the eggs are laid and the mother's sitting on it. Then they really get protective, and it's a lot easier to spot because they don't move when you go there. We're out looking.
Do you use drones?
No, actually, the county has access to a drone. So the stormwater pond up at Park Avenue that we haven't had access, you can't really walk to. We're going to take the drone out there and look, because the geese love that pond. Obviously, there's probably a nest somewhere. So
okay.
If you're interested in doing something with your drone, we could work something out. We did clear an area out there. We can get a small boat in there that the county also has. So if we do see a nest, we can get to it, hopefully. No change to the deer population that we know of. We're still working on that. But that's my wildlife update.
Seven deer?
I saw nine the other day.
Nine?
No, that's more like 12 or 13, probably.
Yeah, there's like
good size herd.
Seems like two groups, like nine. I see nine, I'll see five. I don't know if they just don't talk to each other, and who knows.
Bloods and Crips.
Yep.
Okay. All right, you want to give us any questions for Jim on the wildlife management update? Then let's move to item six, which is the airport update.
Did you want to say anything about your new approval?
Well, if for those of you who haven't heard, because it just happened last week, we can now have customs. We can accept international flights now. And a big help came from Bob Schindler over at PATS to help me kind of walk me through the process and understand it. And it took about a year to go through all the channels. So there's two components to it. I guess I'm kind of, you know, we could have a conversation afterwards if you want, but just so you know, the group knows, there's two components. There's the trash that has to be dealt with, and there's the people that have to be cleared back in the country. Mm-hmm. So the trash is kind of the more, to me anyway, was the bigger hurdle to get over. So you have to, there's all kind of, you know, strict regulations with this trash, but the main part is that somebody, a hauler has to come down from Philly, pick up your bag of trash, and then take it to an incinerator and incinerate it at a certain temperature for a certain length of time, and it all has to be documented and you know, be traceable, I guess. So
is it any trash that comes in from out of the country?
Well, any regulated garbage, which is, you know, things of like sandwich wrappers and things that have food, you know.
Eggs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anything that could have insects on them and that sort of thing. But, you know, a newspaper wouldn't qualify. But the way it works in practice is the captain just bags up all the trash, puts it in one big bag, and hands it to you when he comes off the plane. You put it into a, and then you deal with it your procedures.
I've never had anybody ask me for trash.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's, I guess it's kind
that's
of one of the honor system.
That's why it was
but
strange.
We had on Saturday's arrival, we had a customs guy and an ag guy, or person. And the ag guy walks to the plane, and he's looking for, he told us he looked for insects mostly, but,
right.
You know, if he sees, you know, but then they'd leave, and then it's up to us and the captain to take care of the trash. I mean, you know, it's sort of on the honor system, and somebody
right.
just take off and not, but it's $800 to have this hauler come down and pick up trash.
Right.
So
I've never, like, I fly into Fort Pierce to clear customs. I've never had anybody ask me about trash.
I think when you're at a high-volume place like Fort Pierce in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's, they may, I don't know, I'm not going to
I don't know,
that, but
that's why I was asking.
Yeah,
was
but
curious.
That's, you know, we, that's the rule. We don't want to do anything that's not
absolutely.
Within the rule, the framework of the rules and risk jeopardizing the, you know, the approvals that we've gotten. So, you know, if you were to take advantage of it, you know, we would have to follow that procedure and deal with the trash. It still might be save you time from landing at Fort Pierce and having it. Land there and deal with that and come back up to the island. But
need a bigger plane to do that.
You can't make it from Bahamas back here? Okay. All right. I assume you were, and that was within your trip. So anyway, that's, so we got that approved last week. And the same day we got it approved, and actually the same day we had our first arrival, we actually got a phone call from somebody wanting to come in June. So somebody who just had never been here before, our charter company, said, hey, do you guys have customs? And we're like, yeah, as a matter of fact, we do now.
Right.
As of an hour ago.
So how does that work? They schedule in and
yeah,
somebody
you,
has to come down?
Yes. Customs. Yeah, they come out of Dover. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have, there's a process you have to follow, a website you go to request them, and they won't approve it until 48 hours before they get here. So there's sort of...
So it's 48... Because usually, I like, coming into Florida, I got 24, 2 hours, but I try to give them a day's notice just that I'm coming, and then
well,
I follow
again,
up with it.
Customs is on the field there.
Yes. You know, true.
They, our customs guys are dealing with all the traffic Dover.
Yeah.
And so we're on a whatever, you know.
So you need
48
hours notice?
At least, yeah. I mean,
I wish I could fly that accurate.
Well, I mean, you know,
I'm dealing with
you say
so.
You say you're coming Friday at 5 p.m., you know, and you let us know by Wednesday at 3 p.m., we should be able to accommodate. They seem
right.
they're very friendly, good to work with. They seem like they really want to help support us.
Cool.
They don't. This does not seem to be any kind of inconvenience to them at all. They seem kind of, they're sort of excited, like, well, maybe you'll get more traffic here, you know, and...
Good,
you know, But they're also making over, the other part of the fee is we have to pay them overtime. We have to pay $127 an hour for someone to be here. So, that's from when they leave Dover to get here and go back. So, you know, they're going to start making overtime out of it. So, that's probably why they're so excited.
Now, do you pay the customs charge?
I'm just passing it through to the customer.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever I get billed, I pass through the customer.
Okay.
Does that include that garbage fee?
Absolutely. I'm not eating $800.
Well, that's my next question.
Yeah, I mean,
how are these fees being
not eating $800 worth of garbage?
Literally or figuratively.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but,
wow.
You know, did I leave anything out, Mark?
You've
been dealing for a long time.
That pretty much covers it.
Yeah,
essentially, they reduced their staff by half. So they created this program. Which we're in. Basically, you're paying for their time and service, but at least we have that, you know, that option service to offer our clients, because we get a fair amount of folks coming into the country, and it's a pain for them to have to stop somewhere
mm-hmm.
and clear. And it might only be Wilmington, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just to fly down here. So it's convenience.
It's good. Is that something we should highlight in some
yes,
way?
Yes. Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if the general public cares too much, but I mean, definitely within the aviation community, we need to highlight it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to do a press release and let NetJets, all the charter companies, let them know we have that capability now. And
yeah. You can advertise your international.
Mm-hmm. I was at Georgetown International. Rename the airport.
Oh, no.
No.
I love that, you know.
Let the next guy do
yeah.
that. Okay.
Right. Well, thanks for bringing that up, Jim.
But I mean, it's something that we ought to announce somehow. That, you know, I think just for the general public, you know, with all the money that we spend out here, you know, I think that would be a big deal to.
Just to know that
something,
you
know, something
I mean,
we're.
That's a big deal. It really is.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that information also in the airport directory, or what do they call it? flight supplement.
Chart supplement. Yeah, that's another good idea. I need to take care of that.
Yeah, there's all kind of places that we need to. I wanted to wait till the first one was done, and it was really, well, I won't get into the whole thing, but literally the day before, they were telling us, they were telling me that not all the agreements have been signed, and you know, and I'm like, what? And I actually got Senator Carper's office on the phone because I was fairly upset. I'm very patient, but I lost my patience with dealing with the bureaucracy of CBP. Well, once they heard the senator was involved, then that's when things really started, and they started clearing the decks. Then, boy, I never had to do that before, and I didn't realize how powerful of a message that is when you tell employees of a federal agency that you're going to get your senator to look into this matter. And then, man, within an hour, I had the whole thing resolved, just like that. So now I know that I have that card in my back pocket.
All too supportive for you.
Well, you know, I told him, I said, the senator's been to the airport many times. He has an interest. He's a pilot. He has an interest in the success of the airport. I wasn't really just making an idle threat. I mean, I felt like there was something. They kept blaming people up at the higher levels. And I said, well, you know, I understand how that works. You know, if you can't get that done, maybe the senator can. His staff will know who to call. So it wasn't sort of done. I didn't really think of it that they would react quite the way they did. So, but yeah, now I know. All right, enough of that.
Okay. Instrument approaches, they're still working on the VOR DME to runway 4. There's no change in the publication date. Still September 13th this year. Kind of along with our instrument approaches, we're still working on all of our obstructions and obstruction removal, the big ones that affect instrument approach minimums, et cetera. The FAA uses this program called Airports GIS, which is the database that all of our obstructions that we did with the survey, plus all the other ones that the FAA uses, that's all in this Airports GIS. So we're in the process of validating all of that. There's some trees we ended up removing because of some legacy obstructions that were still in the database that weren't in our survey. So we've been doing some tree removal. The area down by the state police around that pond, those low pine trees that we've been trying to kill with the spraying the last few years that refuse to die. We're waiting for the ground to dry up so the contractor can get in and clear that area. So you'll see some work there. Our clearance delivery frequency, we've had problems with that for years. It's been NOTAM'd out for the last month or so, 2 months. The Dover Air Force Base communications maintenance people came down a few weeks ago. We had a big meeting with our communications guys, trying to figure out what's going on. And we've got Verizon involved. We've replaced just about everything on our end, except for the antenna on the roof, which there's probably nothing wrong with it. Other than it's old. We have a new antenna. We're just waiting for the weather to be somewhat decent for the guys to get up on the roof and replace that. The chief controller called me today about it. One of their guys who was down here at the meeting, just, you know, I don't know how he thought of this, but they're required to broadcast on all their frequencies at once. They've got an antenna up there and then, you know, the one down here. They're required to broadcast on both of those. For some reason, they can take each one out. For some reason, the guy just thought about, you know, just taking one of the antennas out, and now everything is clear. So, seemed to fix the problem. We'll see what happens. The other thing that we're looking at is maybe a discrete frequency for us, so we're not using the same frequency that Dover uses. So, that may happen.
The last time I flew in, they asked me to call them on clearance delivery. I could hear them key up, but I couldn't. It would just key up and then die.
Yeah, so and they think that has to do with the two radios they're broadcasting on at the same time. So they may have fixed the problem, maybe not. We'll know next time we get a big rainstorm, because that always seems to screw things up.
And the NOTAM's there. I saw it. And it gives the phone number to call.
Yeah, and I canceled that today. So. Till the next time.
Keep the thunder.
Yep.
I'll use the phone anyway.
Let's see. Taxiway C, which really only affects Aloft, we're going to start that May 14th. I think that was the date I gave you, right? About a 30-day project, really doesn't affect anything for the airport other than Aloft, because it's the area away from the runway that we didn't do last time. Taxiway D, which is our parallel taxiway to 1028, that should be out to bid by the end of this month. And then we get the bids back, submit for the grant, and wait for the money. Hopefully, it'll start either this fall or early next spring, so we can do it all in one construction phase. There's more to come on that. A lot of drainage repairs going on. We've been over on Nanticoke Avenue in front of Aloft, replacing the 8-inch terracotta under drain that's there. That's all been crushed, and so that's been replaced. There's some sinkholes farther down around the truck driving school that need to be fixed. That's going to happen. Some other things. The area, the taxiway in front of the state police hangar where their rotor wash has dug that all up, we're going to be paving the taxiway safety area, which is about 15 feet outside of the taxiway, and then somebody's going to put in some stone to match the stone that's already there, if you've seen that, for the rest of that. So that should take care of that area. And then there's some electrical upgrade stuff going on. I'll let Rick tell you all about that.
We're in the process of installing wire and conduit to tie the two new lighting bolts in, which will have so the project's going well. Major interruptions except for weather. So you'll see them out there in the infield. Should be no more runway closures as far as part of that project. Helen talked to you about the longer section of that. Installed and tied in at the very end of the project, so it'll be, May, June, that time frame. And as we get closer, obviously, we'll be updated, but that will involve what we go down.
But we're going to work around your schedule.
Yeah.
Downtime, how long are they going to be down?
We're hoping up just a week.
Oh,
maximum.
Okay.
If you time it right, should be able to swap them out. No, I take that back.
We got to flight check.
We can have them back in service, but it'd be noted what unreliable.
We'll work with the FAA and the flight check schedule, and I don't know if we can set a flight check and then work
the
installation around it. But it's an important piece of equipment, especially for your guys. So.
That's
all I had.
I wanted to bring something up. I was thinking about this morning. I was at Lancaster this morning. They have a security gate with a lock on it, like most airports have. And that black gate that's on the left side of the terminal building, that gate, I feel like, should probably have some kind of lock on it. It's really kind of a weak point in the security of the, if you've got the overall fence, it seems like it's a point that anyone could just walk through.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like this has come up before, and I can't remember why we haven't put one in, but I don't know if it was a budget issue or if it just felt like we didn't need it, but I wanted to bring that up and sort of also morph into the security, like security cameras that that I think we should have out here that kind of cover the general ramp area and maybe the tie down area and probably some other areas.
Our IT guys have been working on that. They have a plan for where cameras are going to go. It's a money thing right now. And
okay.
Friday, I got my budget hearing, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, there's been, there have been things happening out here at after hours when no one's around, and, it'd be nice to have that documented. And, I think also having a lock on that gate with a keypad. Most airports, Todd, these guys probably know, but most airports you go to have a pedestrian gate like we have, but there's a keypad on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the keypad is,
usually have like a code.
When you're exiting from the ramp side, there's usually a little sign that can't be seen by the public, but can be seen by the pilots leaving. And it's usually the frequency of the airport, something easy to remember. And so, I don't know if there's people walking through at night or not. I don't know what goes on out there, but
does many pilots or who uses that gate?
Not many people, because our terminal building is open all night, so pilots are coming through, but they get stuck on the outside. We've had that happen before when we have a late arrival. A pilot leaves, go outside and smoke a cigarette or something, and he can't get back in. I've seen that happen, but it's not. I don't think it's a huge thing. I don't want to make it into a big thing, but I just think it'd be nice to enhance that security a little bit more than what it currently is. So, I don't know what's involved in doing it, but I don't know. Is there any other feelings from the group here about whether it's...
It needs to be signed one way or the other, whether it's from the pilot side, because somebody lands and you don't want to walk out it not knowing if it's going to lock behind you. And I'm talking from personal experience. I went into Flagler and I thought I was going to have to sleep under the wing because Judy had a broken hip at the time, and I couldn't leave her on the wrong side of the gate and me not be able to get back. She couldn't walk to the gate to open it for me, and we had to divert because of the weather. So, there was no sign, and finally I went over and tried the gate, and it wasn't locked. And that was, kind of felt stupid, but it was never, there was no sign at all. That if it would just said, code of XYZ or whatever.
Well, to the point of having a lock, not, right now we have no lock.
Right.
Certainly if you have a lock, you need signage, no question. But is there any strong feelings one way or the other
from
the other pilots here?
That's just a man gate, right? It's on the northeast side.
Yeah.
Where you park the trucks and so forth.
Right. You probably never had a reason to go through it.
Well, I was going to ask you, does anybody use it? Do your guys use it?
I've been through it a bunch of times. When you're retrieving rental cars or that kind of thing. So we use it. Yeah, we use it a lot, but it's not... I don't know if the general, people parking at arenas, might see that gate and just think, can I walk up to it? And they find they can walk through it. Next thing you know, they're out on the ramp.
Yeah, I'd recommend to have, the number
push button.
The push button.
Yeah. All right, well, access. So, there's some input for you. You can talk about it with the team and see what...
It's more so probably, plus Garrett, but more so for people that aren't familiar with the airport. They may not go to the FBO door and try to walk in or go through those.
We don't have those locks anywhere else, do we?
The rudder lane gate. There's a man gate there.
Okay.
But again, this is more for the non-pilots, the public that might just see an attraction out on the ramp and, let me take my kid out, he wants to go out and look at the airplane, and we can't get through here, but we can walk through this gate, this black gate right here. We know we can walk right through it. It's not really for the pilots, because we're already trained to look for that gate, and we know there's usually a passcode. This is more to keep the public from walking out onto the ramp. That's
safety issue.
Yeah, if that wasn't being clear, that's why I think we might need something there. But
and this is probably in the weeds, but if pilots are walking out through the terminal, they're not going to see that little sign on the gate because they're not going by that gate. So they get to the outside of the terminal and get locked out. Now they can't see it. But we'll work on that.
A lot of places will say squawk VFR.
Right. That's what.
It doesn't mean a thing to the public that's sitting there. But if a pilot walks up there and there's a little sign that says squawk VFR.
Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to say it's for the gate.
Mm-hmm. It's just.
But we know what that's for.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
First the lock, then the sign. We'll figure it all out.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Anything else, the airport update, Jim?
Nope.
Okay. Any questions for Jim? Okay. Next is Rick with a policy review discussion.
All right. We have a little subcommittee formed. Jeff, myself, and Larry, who's not here tonight, but we did review the policies. Didn't have a lot of changes to recommend. There are a couple things. Sent documents to Jim. I don't know if you want me to touch on the suggestions or anything tonight.
I mean, just briefly. I think my plan would be, because I have some changes that I've been collecting over the years. So,
right.
You know, combine them. Send them out to everybody before the next meeting, and then have a big discussion at the next meeting.
Okay. None of these are real big that we saw anyway. But in definitions, suggested to add a definition for self-healing, just in case you or the county decides to install a self-healing station.
Yeah.
We don't need it right now, obviously. Just something you feel we can do on the fly.
Yeah, I've already changed the word. I got some wording for that.
Okay. Oh, that should have had this flag. In volume one, is it? Volume two. Volume two. Page four, notices. Section 1.16 mentions grant assurances, and the grant assurances, FAA grant assurances, aren't defined anywhere. Just a thought, should we define that? You know, just for, if we don't know, we offer a definition for that.
They're kind of defined in the definitions. We talk about the U.S. code and where it's found. We'll tighten that up. But.
Hey, you're going to send a copy out to everybody?
Yeah. Like I said, I've got some changes that I've been collecting.
I mean, because we were a couple hours. I mean, I don't know the record we were running throughout. Most of it had name changes, if I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even mentioning, you know, the obvious name changes.
Yeah, we'll put together a combined yours and mine and send it to everybody and then go through line by line like we did last time. Because it was so much fun.
One section had a section number, but no text beside it. Blank. I don't know if that. Maybe it was just
a secret code
translation.
Secret ink.
Sometimes I noticed, invisible ink.
That's when if you violate a rule that's not in there, I have someplace I can point to and said you violated.
Volume 3, 2.5.1.1 says solicit ALMS.
Alms.
Funds. What is it?
Alms.
Alms, yeah. It's not capitalized. So I just had a question. What is that?
I think that was actually a lawyer thing the last time we did this. But
was it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like contributions to the poor, money given out of virtue or something. I think it was the definition.
Okay, alms. So that's a word, not an acronym or anything.
We didn't see her again. Theory for
a minute. I guess I should have looked that up. I just figured it was a typo that came out wrong. Same volume 2.10, storage of property. We just commented that, or we asked the question, is the FAA's new policy on hangar use? Is that stated anywhere in the lease or referenced in the leases?
Well, it should be in the policies, and then it's implemented in the leases. So we'll come up with some wording for that.
You'll see several places where we mentioned that. We either put it here or put it in the leases.
Yeah.
So
it should go in the policies first, and then the leases.
Cities. That was another place where we suggested a reference to the CFAs and policies. And something to the effect that Sussex County will abide by such and such policy. Probably the biggest thing was that stating that their county's policy on anger use.
Yeah.
Making sure that's
right. Clear. All right. Well, I appreciate the three of you working on that. Like I said, my plan would be to combine your inputs and some other things that I put in. And then next time, you know, I'll send it out to everybody well ahead of time to take a look at and then go through and see what you think. And
Well, thanks. Thanks for taking the time to go through that. That was a fun evening. Okay, so there's no public members of the public here, so we can skip item 8, and we just need to set our next meeting date. Unless there's any other general comments from the floor. Susan, you usually know when the
should be June 27th. Unless you do something different.
June 27th would follow the precedent from previous years for every other month. And then we just take the summer off, so. Anybody? Well, let's just go and set the meeting for June 27th, unless there's any conflicts with the group. All right, hearing none, then that will be the next meeting date, June 27th. So we just need a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.